So, today's work is touching on another aspect of the yoga. So here, we see Sukadeva Goswami explaining about yoga practice. So in this verse, there are a few things to note, the key things. Number one, the supreme goal is absolute realization, okay? That is the supreme goal for everyone, irrespective of whether we are a yogi or a normal, ordinary, living entity. But of course, we can't expect this kind of goal to be set by animals and below. Lower species, they cannot set this goal. But human beings are supposed to set this as the goal, absolute realization. Okay. And then we have, and in order to get this absolute realization, it does not come cheap, it does not come too easily by staying at home and practicing our own household affairs. No. We have to have the knowledge. The knowledge must be there. Because it's just due to the strength of this knowledge that we begin to realize the absolute. Absolute means Krishna. No change. Absolute means no change. That is basically absolute. Okay? Like our body is not absolute. Our body is changing. So therefore it is not absolute. Absolute means no change. That means our Atma. Atma does not change. So that is absolute. Then the Super Soul, Krishna, he is also absolute. So realizing them, that is the supreme. So therefore, the knowledge is required. And then, with all this knowledge and when the absolute realization comes, the material desire slowly vanishes off. The material desires are there around us, but we will not be attracted to it. That is basically what it means. It does not vanish. Vanish does not mean it, you know, it's just thin air and it is non-existent. No, it exists. It exists for those people who want material desires. But to those people who realize this absolute realization, it will just be no more attractive. It does not become attractive. And then last part of the thing is that, and eventually when we get the absolute realization and the knowledge, and eventually as our material desires are all also extinguished, then you find giving up the body. That will be the fourth stage where you will want to. So these are the goals we are setting. Actually, if you look at Krishna consciousness, this is particularly the goal. And this is exactly what our yogi is also doing. He is trained up. So therefore, in this absolute realization, we must be a little eagerness. We must have the eagerness. If not, it will not come. In other words, even for material, whatever we are going to do in material also, there must be some kind of a liking for it. If not, how are we going to do it? We will not do it. The interest is not there. So similarly, in spiritual also, we must have that liking. So therefore, it is said that Prabhupada puts here very beautifully, the well-situated self or the Brahman-realized soul perfectly understands the Supreme Brahman or the Personality of Godhead. He is the all-powerful Vasudev, and that he, the self-realized living being, is part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. This is the absolute realization. This is absolute. Because we are knowing about Krishna, he is all powerful. Nobody can be above him. We cannot try and compete with him. So that's why Prabhupada put that, Duratmas, what are they doing? They are trying to claim, yes, I am also a competitor to Krishna. In yesterday's class, Dasikendra Prabhu, he clearly put, there is one thing that cannot be served for Krishna, right? The envy. Envy cannot be used for serving Krishna. Envy means competing. You are competing, you know. You cannot compete with Krishna. If in that mode, definitely you will never get absolute realization. No way. Because the question of surrender does not come in. So therefore, we must make sure this envy is completely clear, and we should understand this particular thing, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, Vasudev. We cannot be mixing it up with this and that. That means our knowledge is not perfect. That means we are not understanding the knowledge in perfect. So therefore, and it says very clearly, Prabhupada put there, cooperate with him in all respects. This is absolute realization. Cooperate, not just know the knowledge and then alright, that's over. I've already known everything. No. This kind of knowledge, you know, reading and just knowing it is simply, you're trying to repeat the word. It's only a mere word. It has not come into actual practice. So therefore it is not of much value. That means you have actually not realized it. So we should realize this thing, that he is the Supreme. And we have to cooperate. When we say cooperate, the word cooperate itself means you must try and work along with his desire. What Krishna wants us to do, that we must do. That is absolute realization. If you want to compete with him, then how? Who is the loser? We are going to be the loser. We are part and parcel. It's like a finger trying to compete with our own body. Cannot. Our finger must cooperate with the body and function along with it. If the body wants you to pick up something, pick it up. That is cooperate. So similarly, in the last verse, in the last verse, verse number 18, also, there also Prabhupada clearly says, develop harmony with the Lord. Pure devotees develop harmony with the Lord. What is this harmony? Go along. What he wants us to do, we do it. That's what Arjuna did, and he was successful. So therefore, this harmony is very important. And it is said, you know, very often or not, we always say, oh, we drop from the world, because from the spiritual world, because we had this, that desire, this desire, and this and that. It's basically, we are not in harmony, that's all, simple as that. We were not in harmony. So if we are not in harmony, then that is not the place. This is the place. Material world is the place. If you are not in harmony, material world is the place. So therefore we are put here. So therefore we have to be in harmony with the Lord. That's why in the spiritual world there are so many, all the living entities there, all are liberated and all assume whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants, okay, pleasure out of having a dog, they will become a dog. They will manifest them. They are four-handed. They are already having their spiritual body. Now if Krishna feels that, you know, he needs a dog, he will change to a dog. They will become, one of them will take the form, because they can take any form they want. Although their original form is there, but for the pleasure of Krishna, it is said, all these, that's why the animals, the plants, the bees, the everything there are all spiritual. No ignorance. They are all self-realized. So like that, we have to run in harmony. Then only absolute realization takes place. And pure devotees of the Lord think of the Lord as their only dependable friend and well-wisher. So what is he saying? He is dependable. He is the only dependable. Yes. That is the key thing in spiritual life. And that is what we are missing. For us, this particular key thing is missing. We want to depend in so many, you know, we want to depend on all kinds of things around us. We think, oh, my father will be able to help me, my this person can help me, my friend can help me, this. So many people to depend, so many things to depend, and here you see, the material scientists, they think the material science is going to help them. In this way, we are simply rotting in this world. Because we are holding on, it's something like going in the water and we are trying to cling on to that dog's tail. Because we see the dog swimming so nicely. So we think that, alright, let me cling on to the dog's tail. What will happen? You will sink along with that dog. Because the dog, he can only swim up to a certain level and he can only hold his body and he go. And you go and put on his, and then his tail is so flexible, you also sink. So we cannot be like that. Dependable means you depend on Krishna. Because he is at all times dependable. He does not give way to anybody. He can look after anyone. He has no quota, saying that only I can look after a certain number of people only. No. He can look after any number. Because we are all part and parcel of him, he can accept back all of us. And he is just eagerly waiting. So this is absolute realization we are supposed to be setting the goal and going for. And eventually, but if we want to get all these things, absolute, before we come to the absolute truth, oh Krishna and all these things and all that, if we go and tell the someone walking along the street, they will tell you, ooh, oh Krishna, what after all, ooh, what is it? Oh, I know, you know, in Mahabharata he comes like a hero, like a Robin Hood, I know he is doing some great feat. To him, that is all he has. That is all he realizes. Why? Because he has no faith. He has no faith. Why he doesn't have faith? Why some of... Because we are sitting here, we have faith. They have no faith. Why? Why some having faith and some having no faith? Because the knowledge is lacking. It's the knowledge that gives the strength of the faith. The faith must be there. So in order to have that faith, we must have knowledge. Now when we talk about knowledge, what kind of knowledge? Scientific knowledge? Material knowledge? No. This material knowledge and all these are good for this material world, as long as you like to be here and all that and act smart, all these can. But in the spiritual world or for spiritual realization, it doesn't work. It doesn't ring a bell there. So we have to change. We have to make sure we have some kind of keenness in spiritual knowledge. You know, when books are there, we want to read. or when there is some Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all these discourses going on in bona fide mind, go and listen. Go and listen. You may not have. It is impossible for a person just to take like that and read and just understand. It's not possible. That Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that this knowledge only through the devotee can be departed. It goes out. So for us to do a start like that is very difficult. So slowly we read it and then get a little taste, come and listen. Then you see your keenness and interest and all the understanding also increases. Your understanding increases. Sometimes, you know, the reading on our own is also nice because we have to enhance our knowledge also. But at the same time, we have to realize the fact that whatever we read and enhance ourselves is subject to the limitation of our understanding. If we have an understanding of a certain level, and that is the understanding you are going to get, nothing more. Like some people say, you must see at different angles. You have one angle vision only. So when you see, when you come and listen, then you see in different angles, different ways. But they are all the same. The angle different. So therefore, this spiritual keenness you must do. And then, Prabhupada puts it very beautifully that he says, what is this knowledge you are talking about? His constitutional position is to cooperate within all, with him in all respects in the transcendental relation of the serf and the servitor. This is the knowledge. This is the knowledge you have to know. That first of all, constitutionally we are the servant. And he is the serf, we are the servitor. So, it's very clear. The position, the relationship between the Lord and us are very clear. So which means in the long run and after that, we have to go back to him. Because we are part and parcel of him, we have to be serving him and eventually be back with him. So this is the kind of knowledge we are talking about. And once when we start realizing these things, then that is the time you see, Prabhupada put there, useless activities cease. Otherwise, whatever we are doing here in the form of busy, 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 are all useless activities in Prabhupada's quote. Okay, I quote Prabhupada. Useless activities. Yes, it is useless because it is changing all the time. And that whatever you are doing eventually ends up to nowhere, to nothing. Because you are not going to get any absolute result from it. So that is what this material desire is all about. Useless activities. Get us to involve in useless activities. So these useless activities has to be. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.29.5, Devavuti, she is speaking to Lord Kapila. After Kapila has explained to some extent about devotional service and all that. So she is telling, my dear Lord, you are just like sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditioned life of the living entity. Because their eyes of knowledge are not open, they are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter, and therefore they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities. So you see what a useless activity that we are doing. That's why we are sleeping in ignorance totally. And the eyes of knowledge are not open. Although we may claim that we have already gone to school, I have gone my KG, my primary school, my secondary school, my O level, A level and what not, and then eventually I reached the university and my postgraduate and what not. All these, yes, I have done. Fine, good. For material purposes, well done. But this is not considered as your knowledge. The eyes of knowledge are still not open. Still closed and eternally sleeping. In this verse, Mother is saying, Mother Devotee is telling, they are eternally sleeping. Why? Because you don't have your shelter. The key thing is you don't, your shelter is not there for them. So therefore they are eternally sleeping in ignorance. So he's asking, you are just like the sun, please, my Lord, wake them up, wake them up. They are all sleeping eternally without the knowledge. So, in the darkness of illusion, once you don't have the knowledge and all that, then you are in illusion. Immediately we come into the grab of Maya, where the three modes of nature takes over. So in that respect, we cannot run. We cannot run away. And what will happen? We are always in passion or ignorance. Passion or ignorance. These two things, you know, we dominate these two things. Everybody competing for that. In Kali Yuga, everybody competing for the modes of passion and ignorance. Goodness, no, I don't want. See? How unfortunate we are. Because of the lack of knowledge. Because of lack of knowledge. That's why you are coming like that. And then, what is in Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 7.128. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara ajnana guru ana tare e dasa. So therefore here, what is telling? This knowledge, if you have got it, please give it to others also. That is also. Knowledge has to be sacred from someone. So if we have that knowledge, we must give it to others. In material knowledge, you will find that, you know, when you go and learn, understudy somebody or what, the chances are he will keep some of it to himself. He will not give it. Because why? If he gives, then you will become equal to him or above him. You can overtake him. So he will not give you the whole thing. But whereas in the spiritual knowledge, it's not like that. The more you know, the more you yourself, the more you will get. The more you repeat, the more you get the knowledge. And realization will also come. So, and the prime person who gives this knowledge in this material world is the spiritual master. Spiritual master, he gives the knowledge. He is the one that designated to come and give. Sadhus. Sadhus come, they give the knowledge. Everybody know this. And they are trying to take them all, take all these people, all these fallen souls back to Krishna, to his shelter. So therefore, you know, every time we sing, today we also sang, Guru Muga, Padma Vakya, Ete Te Koriya Akya, Arana Kohiri, Mane Asha. What is this? My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Knowledge, knowledge, he is clearing all our doubts to bring us back to absolute realization. He is clearing. And his words, not simply just words. It has a lot of weight, spiritual weight in it, and spiritual blessing is there. So therefore, just by coming and listening to a sadhu, when a spiritual master is giving his class, we must be there. Just hear, don't talk about how much I can understand. The understanding part is not in your hands. Please remember that. It's not in your hands. Krishna says, the intelligence I give, not you acquire. So when he is giving, who can stop it? So we must qualify for that giving. That's all. So therefore, we are just once our purified consciousness by his words coming from his lotus mouth. And the next line we also sing, Chakshudan Diloje, Janme Janme Prabhu Se, Jivya Jan Hirde Prokashito. The spiritual master opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge, not material knowledge. That is why let us not go to our spiritual master and think of so much of material knowledge is going to give material. No, material is nothing. That is not. That you can take care of yourself. Your karma is there, so that will get taken care by itself. You need not to worry about that so much. Because by karma balan it will go. It will run. You will get. What you have to get, you will get. But spiritual knowledge has nothing to do with karma balan or destiny. It has no destiny. It is in your hands. And therefore, and also every time we keep on talking and singing, you know, after today also, just now we just sing, Om Ajnana Dumandasya Jana Jana Slakya Dattu Midam Yena Kasme Si Guruve Nama. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has opened my eyes which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. The knowledge has to be there, then only we will start getting to know what it is all about. It is not by per se, I heard from there, I went to this coffee shop, there somebody was talking, I went to this place, I went to Serangoon Road, down here, big group I saw sitting down, there they were speaking. No, this is not the knowledge we are talking about. This is not the place that we got. This transcendental knowledge and the torchlight and all this will come only from the great sadhus. They will come and open it up. So we have to go for that. Then the other thing is, once you hear the knowledge, then what happens? Put it aside, pack it up and put it aside? No. We have to accept it. We have to accept it. We cannot try and deliberate it to think that, okay, they say it like this, but then you think the guru, when he say it like this, is it true? Oh no, he doesn't understand about me, about my this thing, my that thing. He is talking about absolute truth. So therefore, whatever he said from the sastra is perfect. So therefore, there is no deliberation required with our contaminated brain. No deliberation is required. Because we are already contaminated, then we go and take this absolute truth and then deliberate it, it also becomes contaminated. So we should never do any deliberation business. Just accept it. We may say blind faith. Blind faith and all these rubbish words all applies only to our material knowledge. Material knowledge, go and deliberate, because there are lots and lots of faults in it. There you have to use a lot of the good things, the bad things, the ugly things, and all these you have to segregate it and we have to work with it. Then you have to decide which one you have to accept and which one you have to throw. But in spiritual, when it is coming from the bona fide sastra and by the bona fide Bhagavad, there is no question of deliberation. Accept it. If we don't accept it, then the faith will not grow. Like saying, Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. If you're going to deliberate and all this and you don't accept it in the end, then so what? Nothing happens. We just stand still. We have come to a standstill. We have not gone anywhere. And not only after accepting, when you say accept, accept means what? What is the symptom of accept? Practice. Practice must be there. Otherwise the knowledge is not fruitifying. You have to fruitify what we have actually known or heard from someone. Fruitify it. Okay? Only when it is, when the knowledge is practiced, then realization comes. Otherwise, there is no realization. That is why a professional reciter or the professional, you see, this professional, Vedanti, yes, they keep on reading, they read a lots of Vedas and Veda everywhere, they are reading a lot of Puranas and these and that, they are reading a lot of this Vedic literature. But because there is no practice, no realization comes, and therefore it just remains in just an ordinary, normal standard. No progress. And as a result of this, when we get that absolute realization, then our material desire is vanquished. Because when we are in the full, in material desire, then where is the question of, you know, when you are in absolute realization, then where is the question of material desire? Material, this thing will look very cheap. Why go for something very cheap when something more valuable is there in front of us? When diamond is there, why don't choose a gold? So, it's as simple as that. So our desire for material will just go. Because of the realization and nothing else. And then, the first thing is, why? Why does absolute realization extinguishes material desire? It's written here. Prabhupada says it clearly. Why? Why is it so? How? How do you know this will happen? Of course, by experience, those people who have already practiced it and you see your material desire, this is one of the benchmarks. Whether we are moving up, are we progressing in spiritual life? This is one of the benchmarks. We have to make sure that our material desires are coming down. That means attraction for material stuff is going down. That is one of the benchmarks. So therefore, in this, how do we know? Why is it so? How it comes like that? Because material desires are based on what Prabhupada says, on the false ego. Are based on the false ego of the living entity and are exhibited by childish and useless activities to conquer the laws of material nature and by his desire to lord it over the resources of the five elements. He wants to lord it over the material. Why do you think a person will lord over? Why do you want to lord over? Because he also wants to be in power. He also wants to be in power. I want to be the controller also. That's the reason. And so, now, under the absolute realization, what happens? You know that you are, Krishna is a total dependent, he is a dependable person. You need not have to depend on anybody else. He is the total shelter for all, and he will not let us down. Once we are convinced and we have the strong faith in that, then why do you need to be a lord? We need not be a lord. The lording of the material nature comes about is when you are frightened that your security is at risk. Your security is now difficult. Now, I don't know, somebody else may take over my position. And then only this lording it overcomes, that nature exhibited. So in that kind of exhibition, you will find that people tend to have so many desires, want to do this activity, that activity, control this person, that person, this person, everything will come. I want to be somebody. But when absolute realization comes, we know that the Lord is the only dependable friend and well-wisher. He is the dependable friend and well-wisher means then what else do we want? Anything we need, we just go and refer. My dear Lord, this is the situation. And we know He takes care, He guides us, He brings us to where we want, we need to go. We need not separately endeavor and be a separatist. Prabhupada using, you know, very often he uses this word separatist. You know what is this separatist means? He explained, you want to separate yourself from Krishna, that is separatist. That is the true separatist. That means we are cutting away, we don't want Krishna. Then we become a separatist. Then we are on our own. And that is where all this karma reaction all comes in. So be with in harmony, you are safe. We are all safe. So therefore, he takes care and he also stops this attraction to abominable desires. Prabhupada like to use this word, abominable desires. Yes. Desires which does not give you any long-term, eternal benefit. Abominable benefit. And we are working so hard for this, to fulfill such desires. And then, what does that mean? Become desireless? No. No. Because we cannot become desireless. We have consciousness. We are not a lump of matter. We are feeling, willing, all these things are there. So therefore, desire is part of this symptom. So desire will always be there. And then, this is telling, engage the desire in the service of the Lord. That is what Krishna says. Engage it in my service. Work for me. And here, Narottam Das sings, Kama Krishna Karme Pane Kroto Bhakta Dvaste Jane Loba Sadhu Sange Hari Kada Moha Ista Loba Bine Mada Krishna Gunagane Nityukta Karibe Yada Tata. So in this, he is telling, I will engage my lust by offering the fruits of my work to Lord Krishna. So the lust is engaging for the service of the Lord. And I will engage my greed by becoming greedy to hear the glories of the Lord in association of saintly devotees. Greed also is engaging. He is becoming greedy. Yes, greedy for money, greedy for all material wealth and all these things. This is not good. But that same greed is now being engaged in servicing the Lord by going and then telling, hearing about the Lord, the glories of the Lord, in association with the saintly devotees. By not attaining my worshipable Lord Krishna, I will engage the quality of bewilderment. Because I could not get Krishna, I am bewildered. Bewilderment is one of the quality of this conditioned soul. Conditioned living entities, this is one of the qualities. So in such a quality, he is telling that bewilderment, I will be anyway bewildered by many things that is happening around me in the material world. That bewilderment, I will be engaging for not attaining the worshipable Lord Krishna, I lament. And I will engage madness by becoming mad to glorify the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Madness is one of them. We are all mad. That is why we are going for something for Maya that does not exist. It's not the truth. But we are going after it. So, these transcendental qualities. So we become mad to glorify these transcendental glories of the Lord. In this way, I will spiritualize these material qualities for the service of the Lord. This is what Krishna is saying. Narottam Das is singing. evil men. So therefore, is there a question of desireless? No. All material qualities and desires can be dovetailed to serve Krishna. And these desires, material desires, so slowly you will see no more material desires, because all the desires have been now dovetailed to Krishna. And at the same time, all activities, material activities, are also gone. See, this is absolute realization by knowledge and how the desire goes. And then in the last part, we all have to give up our body. We all have to give up. Whether we are an ant, whether we are Brahma, whoever may be. We take a conditioned body, we will also give up. The material body has to be given up. So, it is an art. Giving up the body gracefully is an art. And that art is what is built in the Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, this is the art. Krishna consciousness is an art of giving up the body, graciously. And the best of all, giving up the body, the human form is the best. Only in human form you can give it up graciously. So therefore, and this form is lifetime process. It is not start from day, okay, tomorrow I will start and that's it, and immediately, no. It takes time. And we cannot say, let me be old. When I become grey, then I will start. No, it does not. Immediate, now, the danger is just right at the doorstep. So make sure we clear it up. Don't wait. There is nothing to wait. We have already waited millions and millions and millions of lifetime already. Saying the same excuse. You know, the same excuse was given, and then we went on, and life after life we are still here sitting down. See? So don't make that same, repeat that same old story and then caught up in this samsara cycle. So therefore, in order to give up this body, Krishna recommends that the mind must be focused, must remember Him. You must remember Him. That mind is where you train. You train the mind. And therefore, you have to come out of this material to spiritual realization. Your platform has to be changed. You are in the material now. Come in the spiritual platform. Carry out spiritual activities. Krishna conscious activities are there. Do it. Then it becomes spiritual. That is, you are spiritualizing it. And then you will find that your material consciousness will become Krishna consciousness. Your consciousness will be changed. That's it. Right now, too much of this material attraction. So when we are in that attraction, it is very difficult. Our consciousness will not be in the spiritual at all. So, then the mind becomes controlled, and in that, the yoga meditation. That is why, in controlling this mind, the yogis, they are using yoga. Prescribed yoga. These are bona fide ones. It is not that, you know, we are talking about something which does not work. It will work. It will work if you can make it work. If you can make it work, it will work. It is not a lie. It's absolute truth. It's true. But, Prabhupada puts there very clearly, yoga meditation is mechanical. Why is it mechanical? Why is he saying mechanical? Then he says, beautifully he explains that because his practice is physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. He is using physical endeavor, that means his own bodily endeavors, determination, willpower and all these to for spiritual perfection. He is not getting any help from Krishna or sadhus or anybody else. He depends on himself. He is physical. If his determination goes, he goes. And therefore what happens? If he, by one way or other, somehow or other, when he falls into the material desire, his desire comes back, he falls. He falls down. Because he has nobody else to cling to. Whereas in a Krishna conscious devotee, a devotee does not fall down. Even though there may be some setbacks here and there, may have some desire or something comes by, he does not fall down. He may drift a little here, but before that, because of his devotional service, he will be saved. Because the Lord is so pleased already for the devotional service which you have already done. See, whereas in yoga, what you have sit down, upside down, you have done this control, that control, this control, the Lord has nothing to please. You have not pleased anybody. The Lord is saying, he is trying hard, let him try. He is having so much of stamina, let's see. Yes, if you have that determination and if you come up to that level, well and good, you have made it. Otherwise, even then, Krishna is merciful, he still gives them at least the heavenly planet to go to. See? So, this particular yoga process that we are talking about, controlling the life air and all this, is not an easy task. It's very, very, very difficult. And a yogi, when he leaves the body, he has to make sure, he has to look out the time, what time, where the sun, which direction, when, which part of the day. And then his life where he had to control like this. He has to block off. And then he bring the life where up to all these six places and eventually to the top. Waiting to split off. Whereas in a devotee we need not have to worry about all this. That is why in this kind of process it's so difficult. That is a question of control of mind in Kali Yuga, with Kali's influence. Can't. So technically, the moment you start, you are a failure. Because you can't control your mind on your own. So therefore, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, and that becomes practical. That is why Prabhupada is saying, in this Yuga, Kali Yuga, it is practical. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 774, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting what Ishwara Puri told him to Prakashananda Saraswati. Nama Vinu Kale Kahe Nahi Ara Dharma Sarva Mantra Sara Nama E Sastra Marma. In the age of Kali, there is no religious principles. That is the first thing. In the age of Kali, religious principles all destroyed. Other than, no religious principles other than the chanting of the holy name. You see, all other religious principles are broken. Except for chanting, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. Yes. Chanting is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purpose of all the scriptures. That is why they are recommending, please chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then, again in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 17.133, is quoted from Padma Puran. It says, the holy name is transcendentally blissful. Holy name is transcendentally blissful because it is not material. Anything that is not material and is spiritual means is blissful. The word blissful cannot be used for material. Material, there is no blissful. You can only use happiness. The best thing you can use is happiness. But happiness and blissful are not the same. And it bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. See, it bestows all spiritual benefits. All spiritual benedictions we get it by chanting the holy name, because it is none different from Krishna. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. His form, his name, all are complete. And that's where this transcendental mellow exhibits. Transcendental mellow does not come in any other mantra. You can take it from any sastra, you can check it out, you can see. Other than the Maha Mantra, there is no mellow in any mantra. All the five rasas are built into it. Anyone who takes it seriously will get that mantra. That mellow will definitely be there. And Krishna is the embodiment of all these mellows. He has all these mellows with him. He exhibits. It is for us to take and taste it. It is not the material name under any condition. It is not material. This Maha Mantra is not material. And it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. You see? The power of the mantra is equal to what the power of Krishna is. Because he says, all my Shakti has been infested in this. And since Krishna's name is not contaminated by material qualities, there is no question of being involved with Maya. So therefore Maya does not affect this mantra. Because Krishna is not at all affected by Maya. So therefore the mantra also cannot be. That is why this particular mantra, you need not have to wait until I become purified to this level, then I can start chanting. No. In any level, you can be the worst of the worst sinful person. Doesn't matter. It will still bring you out of these sinful activities. Your whole sinful life will go. And that is, Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual, and it is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. See? His name is liberated and spiritual. So therefore there is no material conditioning in it involved. And this is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. This is not what I am saying. Padma Puran. Okay? Like that, if you want to look at this about the holy name, there are so many thousands of references in so many Puranas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everywhere you can find so many. So, at the end of it, for the devotee, for the yogis, well and good, they can try their life there and bring in here and bring in there. But as for devotees, we make sure our mind and activities are in Krishna consciousness when we leave our body. And let us leave the body blissfully by the mercy of the Lord. Because for the devotee, the Lord always helps, not by his own physical endeavor. That's why some people ask, What happens if, let's say, at the time when I'm leaving, I'm so sick and I'm having so many trips running all over and with so much of pain and all these things, what will happen? All these are taken care of. If you have done your sadhana nicely and properly, our chanting has been nice and proper, and we have dedicated and we have done our Krishna conscious activities properly, there is no question of all these material obstructions. And therefore our mind will be steady and will concentrate. No matter what the pain is, on the surface the pain will be there. But internally he is always in a blissful mode. So in blissful mode he always thinks of his worshipable Lord Krishna only, nothing else. For an external like us, when we stand and look at this person dying, oh, a devotee, he's suffering, he's having so much pain. It may appear so, but to him, internally, in transcendental blissfulness means he has no pain. He does not experience such a pain. But the pain is there, but he cannot experience it. It is like something like the material desires are all there, but a devotee, he doesn't get attracted to it, and therefore he doesn't have the effect of all these desires. And therefore, his mind, because his mind is always immersed in the transcendental pastime of the Lord, he's in that mode. Because all his life he has been in that mode, or he at least practiced to be in that mode. We want to imbibe that mode of separation with the Lord. And then he is trying to build his relationship with the Lord. So now when he is ready to go back and bodily he is having some small pain here, pain there, that disease, this is a small matter to him. Because he is just waiting to be with the Lord. Therefore, a devotee always gets a very gracious kind of death. So we need not have to worry about today's words of life there and all that. Unless we want to become a yogi. Well and good. That's also another choice. That's a choice. Okay, I'll stop here. So, is there any questions? Okay, if we don't have the questions, then we'll stop here. Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Gauri Vaishnavanda ki jai. Gauri Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Chandika Archana Prabhuji ki jai.